Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time for Careers Corner. Looking forward to this discussion. I think something that is often taken as a hobby or a nice to have, it's always great when it turns into what can be a lucrative career. But this isn't always the case unless you are quite strategic and definitive about it. The career we're talking about today happens to be being an influencer. I think there are possibly three times as many people who will identify as being an influencer than there are who are actually earning money, running a business as being an influencer. It is hard work, and it is strategic work, and it is consistent work. And so I'm really excited for our guest who will be joining us today, Dashni Vilagazi, who is the managing director of the Media Shop Johannesburg. An agency that I suppose bridges the gap between what you think you're putting out to the market that the market wants and what the market actually wants. And the market, of course, would be brands on the one hand, in terms of what they want from influencers and how to position their branding. And then the rest of the market, of course, will be the likes of the actual people who could buy the brand. And that is the market to whom you happen to be selling. Now, the reason that this was a very important conversation for us to have is, as I say, because it's so easily accessible to so many people. Get a tripod, get a camera, heck, just get your phone and maybe download an app and say, yo, I love this, and hopefully you'll go viral. It's not as simple as that. If you look around the world, people spend years hoping to go viral just once, and often it's a flash in the pan. Just ask Hak Turgul. It's over. So we want to get a bit more strategic for you and give you some interesting perspectives from Dashni Vilagazi, MD of the Media Shop Joburg. Dashni, welcome to Kaya Biz. Thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much. It's Dashni Vilagazi.
Yes, I thought that's what I said. Yes. welcome to Kaya Biz. Dashni, very excited to chat to you, mostly because your business, Media Shop, has been in the industry since 1988, and yet influencing is something quite new and growing quite rapidly. What made influencing become a part of your business's stable in terms of the impact on the movement of goods?
Yes, absolutely. Great question, because I guess that's where it all has started, right? Yes. It's grown dynamically, influencer marketing. And you know, it's been playing such a significant role in the country's digital marketing landscape. And many brands have found that it's been a game-changing movement for them. When you look at the reach, right, the social penetration for active users is 25 million.
Wow.
Absolutely, right? I mean, that is...
That's eye-watering, actually.
It is. And when you look at influencer marketing and how fast it's growing in South Africa, from the base of social media users, it's growing annually by 12%. And the reason it's growing that fast is because brands are seeing such a great return on investment and a positive return on investment. And, you know, numbers for numbers, it looks very positive. But also the other softer factors like brand reputation, brand engagement,
yes,
emotional relevance for brands when an influencer can actually just lift some of the relevance for a brand. And it just brings a lot of credibility when an influencer is authentic enough and culturally attuned to a brand to help the brand along their journey, along their revenue journey.
I love this. So, Dashni, because it's Careers Corner, I'm going to come to the authenticity of the influencers themselves. I want to talk first and foremost about the impact on the buyer, effectively, which is the brand. You said just now that it has demonstrated such great return on investment. This has been a bugbear for the advertising industry for decades, right? All the Lurie Awards in the world don't necessarily guarantee sales from a brilliant ad. How are you able to actually ascertain that return on investment? How are you able to track how well an influencer campaign goes well goes. Excuse me.
So there are a couple of strategies that brands use. Okay, for example, I'll talk about a strategy that if the objective is to drive sales for a different product. And then what the brand will use is they'll use like an affiliate marketing tactic where the influencer will use like a unique code, like a unique discount code, where the influencer will talk about a certain service or a product and influence that the benefits and the emphasis of using that product. And then the influencer will then say to the users or the audience, if you considering buying the product, use this unique discount code, and it will be like the influencer's first three title of their surname, and then the code, and then brands immediately can just track exactly what that influencer's brought in.
Okay, cash money. Not just engagement, not just eyeballs, right? Which historically was difficult to trace. So talk to us about the key revenue streams. I'm sitting at home right now. I'm listening to Dashni Vilakazi, the great doyen of the media shop. And I want to understand what are the best, what's the way I approach revenue streams with these incredible businesses?
I think it would be nice for me maybe just to use an example.
With pleasure.
So, for example, an e-commerce, a big e-commerce company in South Africa last year partnered with a couple of influencers to promote Black Friday deals. And these deals were done through unboxing of videos and products of views on Instagram. And here, the measurement was brands had to clearly define what the KPI was and the reach and engagement. And so what this brand then did was they use the influencer and they tag this influencer to certain products. And what came through was, for Black Friday, the campaign had started like maybe 3 weeks in advance. And immediately, the e-commerce, this platform, started seeing how different influencers were coming to the fore and shifting. And they then decided to use only those influencers and pretty much can the rest of the influencers to run their whole Black Friday campaign. Mm-hmm. So this also gave a dynamic strategic action from the brand to move into gear and, just by seeing those sales uplifts.
This is excellent for the brand. Just let's talk a little bit about protecting myself and preparing myself as an influencer. In the first place, it is a business, and I would imagine it's ideal to corporatize, register the business, whether it's as a close PTY or PTY Limited or as a sole proprietor. But just I imagine this is importantly quite an efficient way to deal with the brand partners and also to affect taxation over time.
So, good advice is there are actual local influencer marketing agencies that have quite credible relationships with digital influencer agencies and media agencies like us. And these have sprung up in South Africa, and they're helping brands to streamline the process and for influencers. Well, what they'll do is you'll give them a brief. They'll then go identify typical influencers. They'll also recruit these influencers, even coach and give all the formal training to quite a few of these influencers so that they can lift the quality of their engagement and the quality of their servitude. And then, after the brief is, they've mulled through the brief for the brand, they'll then give the brand advice and guide them on the typical influencers they need to use, the tactics, the strategies. Do they use a discount code, or should they just focus like on sales or conversion? And they really connect the brands with the right influencers. Mm. And, we also have another a group in South Africa. It's called EDC. Yes. Everyday creators. And they do the same thing for both brands and influencers.
Okay.
So it's a big business. And the CapCut is another, it's an app that you download from TikTok. Yeah, so there's a lot of support and services, and influencers need to be aware of it. and make reference to and seek out these different opportunities to grow their career.
Dashni, on average, how big is the influencer budget in most, let's call them legacy agencies, marketing and advertising agencies? I mean, is it 20% of their budget these days, more?
It's, for one, it's definitely growing. Yeah. But what we are finding that you are having brands that look at the entire ecosystem of their media exposure, and they look at what television brings in. And for example, if they're using an influencer on TikTok, they then try and use the same influencer, if it's quite a macro influencer, in their TV ad or on their radio or on their billboards. So they kind of like, brands are using to knit a lot of influencers, and that's why they're really being very careful and clear about which influencer they want to use.
Mm.
Now, like I mentioned, 25 million active social media users in the country, and influencer take-up is growing by 12%. And with that growth, the brand's budgets will grow. But when I say grow, the budget has to come from somewhere. So, you know, if a brand has a set budget, then they look at the entire media ecosystem, and they look at what television is going to bring in, what radio will bring in, what a social media campaign will bring in, and then what a typical influencer kind of campaign will bring in. And then they'll, you know, allow a percentage of budget. But if they see that the influencer campaign is actually moving the dial on the revenue, then they'll add even more budget to it. So it's really just based on the numbers.
Dashni, how much of a budget does Media Shop Joburg put towards digital?
And it varies, right? Based on the different
clients. Is it on the basis of the client and not, okay. But there's no aggregate.
It's based on the client. It's based on the category. Like if you look at the beauty influencers, they are extremely out there. You look at financial services.
But you see...
And, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. So the reason I'm asking is, so I don't know if beauty is, okay, beauty historically has endorsements, right? Has always had endorsements, a face for a beauty brand, but it still could be categorized as above the line advertising. Okay. Then you have a person who's like, I'm trying out Nivea's new product for the week, influencing. That's what I'm trying to get a sense of, because obviously for South Africans, well, the world really, ad space attention is shrinking. Very few of us watch terrestrial television, and if we do, very few of us sit through commercial breaks. So, you know, television is a difficult one. It's difficult to sell L'Oreal during a rugby match, I imagine, which is probably the one time, you know, South Africans will be largely glued to the TV. And then, you know, so below the line advertising works quite nicely. So obviously 60/60 can take that space and flight all their ads around the World Cup, you know, the bike around Paris at the same time as, you know, having 60/60 colored rugby uniforms and also coming through the app. I'm just trying to get a sense of the extent to which the traditional media is not being abandoned, but like whether or not influencing is now going to become the core rather than the satellite strategy going forward, just because of the trust you were speaking of.
Yeah, so brands have seen the attribution of using an integrated media strategy. Like television has a certain role, radio has a certain role, digital has a certain role. And the more that they're seeing an attribution of that, every time we have a television ad with a social media campaign or a search campaign, we're seeing these levels of movement in our sales. And what brands are also realizing that with influencer campaign overlaid with television and radio and maybe even an out-of-home campaign, that there seems to be quite a solid retention, brand awareness, brand remembrance that they're beginning to pick up when they look at when the sales is actually taking place.
Yes.
So going back to your question of how much or at what level influencer marketing is growing, it's growing exponentially.
Okay, so the budgets are there. I'm so glad you said this, because so many influencers that I know are like, but they keep saying there's no budget. I'm just teasing. I'm painting you into a corner unnecessarily. Okay, so what I'm thinking about in terms of your blended, it's, you know, if you want to call it the omni-channel of marketing, I'm thinking of like someone like Ferofi and Siavana for Savannah. I see her on my TikTok. I see her on my I think they've also got ads with her, right? Is that what you mean when they blend with the television and the like?
Yeah, because consumers don't really consume television at the rate of, well, tonight I'm only going to watch, you know, this channel and I'm going to watch it for a full 2 hours. While they're watching that, you know you do that.
We're second screening.
You pick up your phone, yes, and you're scrolling and consuming other pieces of content all at one time. You know, you go out to buy some fast food, or you don't, and you order it via delivery, and then you get onto an e-commerce website, then you're exposed to more advertising, then you're back on your phone with your social media, then you're back watching television. So you're consuming all of these at a rate of high frequency. So brands have realized that they can't actually just focus on one medium. It's how do we capture this consumer and reach them at all levels, but being authentic to the message in that medium at that time.
Tell me something, Dashni. The conversation that's been going on around the office with my colleagues has been around the authenticity you mentioned at the beginning. As you mentioned a little earlier, very quickly, brands recognize the authenticity of a particular influencer or the prevalence of their presence on people's phones or in their attention span. And I imagine very quickly there are a lot of bunt fights. In an economy where I want to be an influencer and, you know, 7 brands come to me, I have to be honest, as a consumer of social and traditional media, the authenticity fades because you start getting known as, well, you'll peddle anything that they give you. You'll peddle the Merc, you'll peddle the chips, you'll peddle the jeans, you'll peddle the cologne, you'll peddle the whiskey. How do brands kind of sort of say, okay, this person, there's a balance between overexposed and very well positioned?
It feels like the rugby team, the Springbok rugby team currently, right?
No. They can do no wrong. Also, I'm waiting for Rasi to propose to me, so please do not spoil my chances. Carry on.
You are struck the sensitive nerve. It's important on both parties.
I'm sorry.
No, it's really important for both parties, right? As an influencer, you are a huge asset. And as an influencer, you've got to choose and select your association, okay? And when you choose and select that association, how do you become a long-term marketing channel and partner to a specific brand, okay? Like if you look at L'Oreal and Andie MacDowell, Because You Worth It,
yes.
She's walked that catwalk with that brand
since I was in high school.
Absolutely, right? And she's still featured in Cannes this year, talking about her experience, now gray hair and all, how this brand has actually lifted her capability and her success as a model and as an artist. So that's what we're looking at. And brands also have to do their homework, right? That they've got to choose what is authentic, because your consumer sees, is more exposed to so much more advertising and influencer marketing out there, that if they see an influencer selling both, you know, one bank's marketing, one bank's, you know, savings campaign, and also like a shoes and fast food. And so brands have to do their homework to make sure that they're not placing their own brand at risk. And influencers then slowly start falling off the table of discussion and selection when, you know, they are there for the taking for every single brand.
That throws a check.
So both parties have to do their work and be true to, at the end of the day, the main and key stakeholder is the consumer.
Indeed. Dashni, an enlightening conversation. Really lovely to hear specifically from the side of the buyer. So appreciate your insights this evening. Dashni Vilagazi is the MD of the media shop Joburg. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Careers Corner on KayoBiz.
Thank you.
Indeed. And I am very much looking forward to the influencer side in terms of the influencer agencies, as Dashni suggested. Very much, I've been particularly eager to speak to, not just because I'm a huge fan of her influencer work, but because she's also created a digital agency to support these. I won't say the name in case we don't confirm this week. I'm looking at my producer and he's not. acknowledging. I won't say the name. Okay, fine. 26 plus 7. Let's move on to matters that are equally serious and potentially even more dire. I'm joined shortly by University of Stellenbosch Law Clinic Representative Odwan Weber regarding the collaborations to curb indebtedness, a report in collaboration with Black Sash.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.